Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, October 29th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 95, the third paragraph, If He is Sincerely Interested and Wants, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Anna S., 12 Traditions, Joanne L., Reader of the Text, Julie E. B., Jordan E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Barbara W. The reference number for Thursday, October 28th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,997. That's 17997. And for this morning, Friday, October 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,000. That's 18,000. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Alice G., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anna S. to please read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Anna S. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning. Nice to have you on the phone and do your service, Dawn. I appreciate it. And welcome to the world, because we are the world on this line. We're from all over. My name is Joanne L. I am a compulsive overeater, and I am from Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to do service this month. It's been a pleasure, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 95, the third paragraph. If he is sincerely interested and wants, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Julie E.B. to begin reading. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If he is sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, his wife, or his friends. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. Well, as I said, Julie gratefully recovered from Colorado Springs. I feel privileged to be sharing on this. The person who most epitomizes this for me was my first sponsor. She was the sponsor in another program. And she watched me for years go up and down the scale. She provided sponsorship in that program. I knew that she had decades of recovery in something called Overeaters Anonymous. In fact, some of you have heard this story, but she actually invited me to the OA meeting that would become my home meeting. to get her 20-year tip. And it never once occurred to me that this meeting really had anything to do with me. And then I was having tea with her one time as we were doing some step work, and I had been, you know, as many of you know, 300 pounds, bedbound. I'd lost 100 pounds twice, medically managed, but just wrecking my body with my compulsive over and under eating, anorexia, bulimia, you name it. And I looked over at her and I said, what does this abstinence thing mean in OA? And I mean, she had that light in her eyes, but she never poked me. She never prodded me. She listened to me, and she knew my pain. And I just believe it all unfolded as God needed to. And if I was to find God, it needed to come from within. And this is one reason that I, you know, ask the people that I work with, as I was asked, to look at the book, to read the book, to do their assignments, to do different pieces, and then come back. It's their desire. And if they're willing to do the work and they show up, we do the work together. I don't decide the level of sincerity of interest personally. I don't assess that. I just, if they've read the work in the meantime, then we can meet. If they haven't, maybe they have a chance to use the hour we were going to meet and read it and try again if they're just, you know, getting started. But if they show up and they do the work, so that's how I was taught. Not so much about deciding on sponsees and dropping them, but giving them more work, more, not necessarily work for the sake of work, but giving them pieces of step work, of work in the big book. And when they come back, when they're ready, when they contact me, when they meet me at the time we set, then I show up. And this is how I find God works. I can't help anyone. The desire comes from within, comes from God, the time is given by God, and I just show up. Thanks for letting me share my path.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Penny L.C.
Penny L.C.
Christy M.
Chrissy M.
Sally A.
Sally A.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Okay, let's stop there. I have Wendy B., Penny L.C., Chrissy M., Sally A., and Kathleen O. Good morning, Wendy. Go ahead and get us started today.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and I just love this paragraph. You know, he must decide for himself, and if he's to find God, the desire must come from within. And just these sentences just help me so much to not push or prod anyone, you know, and especially my husband. You know, when I stopped and looked at all the work and effort I put into doing my program work, it just became really apparent to me that the desire to do it comes from within me. It doesn't work if it comes from without. And my desire to stay recovered drives me. It motivates me. And, you know, I can't give that to someone else. No amount of, you know, frothy emotional appeal or desire on my part will motivate him. And only God can orchestrate circumstances to cause so much discomfort that we're motivated to make changes and embrace a new way of living. And that may or may not happen for someone else, you know, and I get to just be in acceptance with that, you know, that God's in control of my husband's life, not me. And for now, it doesn't include recovery. And, you know, and that God has him right where he wants him to accomplish God's purposes, not my purposes. You know, I get to keep my mouth shut, you know, about what he chooses to put into his mouth. And it's between him and God, and it's none of my business. And, you know, God just plants that desire within us to live a better life, you know, a life that glorifies him. You know, he gives us a desire for truth, a desire to hear his guidance and direction, you know, a desire to hear his voice, you know, and to spend time with him. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. And now, Penny L.C., will you share with us, please, followed by Chrissy M. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. I appreciate the directions that are clearly outlined for me on how to proceed with a variety of scenarios here on this page and in this chapter. This book has thoroughly shown me how to navigate working with others. And the reminder here is that I am simply a messenger of this message in these pages, the message of recovery that comes clearly and completely in this book. You know, here I'm given the ideal suggestion that I offer to them to read the truth for themselves in these pages. You know, I know the power of what is in print here. And I easily know also and take comfort in knowing that if they are ready, I can't do it wrong. And if they are not, I can't do it right. It's not up to me. God has a plan for this individual that I'm sharing with. And I'm just the messenger and grateful to be in that position and to trust and rely on my higher power for the process. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. from Washington. Christy M., will you share with us now, followed by Sally A. Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering bulimic and anorexic in Oregon. And what this passage makes me think about is that this is a program of attraction, not promotion. And the best thing I can do to help others is to really work and live out the steps in my life and be the change. We talk a lot of times in the end of a meeting, some meetings we say that prayer of like, let it begin with me. And that's one of the greatest lessons that you've learned in working the 12 steps in recovery, is that the starting place is myself, is keeping the focus on myself. The best way I can help other people, the best way I can be that message, is not to say the message to others or talk all about the 12 steps, but to just really live that in my life. And that when people are around me, it feels different, it looks different. And that, you know, we talk about with the 12 steps that, you know, the weight and the eating is an outcome of the spiritual and emotional brokenness inside. And when we focus on the emotional and spiritual healing, the weight, like my outside is a reflection of the health of my inside. And when I'm working on the health of my inside, that's when the change starts to happen. And the more I can focus on my own emotional and spiritual health, you know, the more that draws people in and people want to know, you know, what am I doing or what's different about me? So it just really reminds me of, like, at the core of what this program and 12 steps are about is just keeping the focus on ourselves and working our own program. And I just remember and continue to remind myself that this is a 24-hour program and that I don't get to store up my abstinence or, you know, my program. And that willingness that I still need, no matter where I'm at in my abstinence journey, that willingness to surrender to my higher power, that willingness to be at step one and realize I'm powerless and be turning my will and life over to my higher power, that willingness is something I have to work out every day. You know, and I find in myself, just as much as the newcomer, is that if I rest on my laurels, or if I'm not doing the work, if I'm not going to meetings, if I'm not doing my food plan, how quickly I can lose my own willingness. And that's a daily practice for all of us. So thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Christy M. from Washington. And now we'll hear Sally A., followed by Kathleen O., and then I'll be opening up the lines again. Sally A., please share with us, followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for your service to all of us this morning. When I read this paragraph, if he's sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval.
To begin with, they're talking about how we can be helpful, how we can be of use to the person that we are trying to be of help to. And the first thing, the first instruction they're giving us here is to ask him to read this book. And, you know, it says in the foreword to the first foreword to the book, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And there is a lot of power. I truly believe there's a lot of power in the first 164 pages of the big book. So when we ask him to read this book, half of the work for us in helping another person, because the book is a tool to help others understand, especially those who have what we have, the disease that we have. The book is created and put in such a form that it can be so helpful for them to see for themselves. And that's the key here that it goes on to say. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, you or his wife or his friends, because the doctor's opinion tells us that frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. So for myself, when I have been in back in the food, it's been very kind for people to call me and try to be helpful to me. I didn't want to be in the food, but I wasn't ready to figure out what went wrong or to do something about it. And no matter how many pep talks people called me with, it didn't work. But in all honesty, it really was when I was sick and tired of being sick and tired and decided to put the food down, and I reached out. And more than that, when I picked up this big book and started to read and started to listen to these meetings, that is when I became ready. That's when I started to think about what was I doing differently that was working, and what am I doing now that's not working. And the big book decodes that answer for me and for all of us. And thanks for letting me share. I think I've said enough.
Thank you so much, Sally A. And now Kathleen O., will you share with us, please? And before Kathleen shares, I'm just going to announce quickly that we're on page 95, the third paragraph, if he is sincerely interested and wants. And we're commenting on that one paragraph. So after Kathleen shares, I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Go ahead, Kathleen. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service this morning and all month. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. So the desire must come from within. And most of the directions in the big book are suggestions. But I think there's, 40-ish musts in the first 164 pages. I remember one of the first things my sponsor told me in reading the book, she said, I want you to underline all the musts. And I thought, okay, that's a weird thing. But I was willing. I didn't ask questions. I just followed the directions. There's a lot of musts. We must carry the message. We must believe our body is quite as abnormal as our mind. The message must have depth and weight. So in this paragraph, there's actually two musts. And he must decide for himself. No one can make us follow these directions. We can't push or prod. My husband was alcoholic, and between me and our therapist, I don't know that we pushed or prodded, but we sure certainly encouraged. But he wasn't ready. He went, and it didn't work. So it doesn't work. It's got to come from within. The person really has to be ready. And if he is to find God, the desire must come from within. And must is, it's imperative, it's essential, absolutely necessary. And to get well and stay well, I need to keep reading this book. For me, that's one of, having this connection with God, reading this book, I need to keep going through it paragraph by paragraph with you guys 5 times a week, year after year, because there's no end to recovery and there's no cure. So to be recovered, to get recovered and be recovered, I had to find the God of my understanding, to follow this spiritual approach And that desire had to come from within. So when I sponsor, it doesn't work if a sponsee is looking for me to solve their problem. God's going to solve their problem, and that comes from them. So this daily connection with this, with my God is what keeps me abstinent, and it also keeps me sane. And I can't assume I know what a person wants or needs. You know, they usually want and need this, but they don't always have the willingness to take the action. So when someone is ready and willing, they won't make excuses, and they'll take the action and follow these directions. And that's exactly what I did when I came into this program. I was willing. I was ready. I was done. I was doomed, and I was done. And I didn't ask questions, and I've always been a person who always asks questions, but I didn't ask questions. I just did what I was asked, I trusted, and it worked. And I passed. Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. from California. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines and taking more names of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Jody E.
Jody E.
Drew D.
Drew D.
Goldie.
Dana P.
Goldie. Dana P. Okay, I've got Jody E., Drew D., Goldie, and Dana P. Jody E., please share with us.
Good morning, Dawn, and everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So, I think it's interesting that this says to have him read the whole book on his own, because I think many of us take it little bits by bit, just as we do in this meeting. And many of us read the book with our sponsees, but not all of us do. For myself as a sponsor, when I do read with my sponsees, it helps, it makes it very fresh and real in my mind, which I like. But this is saying, have him read the book. Just to see if he or she is really interested, and see if they do read the book. And then he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. Someone gave me this book in 1988, and it was my brother, actually. And I just knew when I started to read this book that it was describing me. Even though I am not an alcoholic, I am a compulsive overeater, but it was the same. I knew it was describing me. So reading this book, even part of it, really did grab me. And that's not the case for everybody, but it is the case for some of us. So my brother did nothing else but give me the book. And then I took my higher power then showed me that Overeaters Anonymous was in existence, which I did not know. And I knew it was the program for me, and I went to a meeting. So I took action, because I knew by reading this book that this is what I needed. I intuitively knew it. The desire did come from within. I'm so grateful for that. And I really do feel that God was completely and totally the orchestrator of those events. My brother gave me the book, and then I happened to see an ad in my local paper for Overeaters Anonymous, which we don't advertise right now in my little town. And I'm going to see what I can do about that at my next intergroup meeting. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. And now, Drew D., will you share with us, followed by Goldie? And please share where you're calling from.
You got this.
Good morning. This is Drew D. in Northern California, working a recovery program, a very grateful compulsive overeater and restrictor, with a lot of gratitude for your service today, for everyone on the line. Thank you so much for this space. It saves my life on a daily basis. And this reading is especially helpful and relevant. I was thinking about the phrase I've heard folks use in program from a sponsee side, from doing the program work side, that sometimes if I don't have the desire or the willingness or it doesn't seem like that, I can act my way into a new kind of thinking rather than think my way into a new kind of action, which for me is really helpful. That sometimes when the sincere desire to work this program seems to gutter out or wane, I love that it is a program of action where I don't need to maintain that great enthusiasm for recovery. I just need to take the next right action, and that is such a gift. I really appreciate the shares, and also wanted to pass on something else. I had heard another fellow share prior that if I'm coming to these meetings, I got to bring something to share, not just something to take. And I gotta admit that I've been a great admirer of other people's shares and not a frequent sharer myself. So I just wanted to claim my seat and say thank you all for living the program today. It's a real life-saving gift. And thank you for this particular reading. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Drew D. from California. And now, Goldie, will you share with us, followed by Dana P., and please give us your initial and where you're calling from. Goldie, good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Goldie F., and I live in Cleveland, Ohio. And I absolutely love this vision group. And when I came back in again after being in relapse for quite some time, I didn't have that desire to stop eating compulsively. I knew I just wanted to I wanted to get thinner, but and not be as heavy. But I don't know if that's exactly how I felt when I still continued listening to Vision. And basically, I really believe my higher power is who gave me that desire that one morning when all of a sudden I heard something that somebody shared on this group, and that was it. I was like, I went and weighed my food, and I had not had that desire to do that for a long time. And when I am in the food, it isolates me, and I become more isolated by the second, and don't feel part of, and am not willing, and complain about all those things. but when I have heard everything that everybody has shared on Vision throughout all the meetings that I've listened to, it just, you can feel the genuine serenity that so many people have in recovery from stopping to eat compulsively, or however it is, you know, whatever it is that their form of addiction to food is. And that is what just, it gave me such a pull. It like pulled me. I wanted what I heard, what was happening on this meeting. And I'm not willing to do, I fight still sometimes in my head. The disease is like, you look at all this work you have to do. and it's okay. I could say that out loud and know that that's the disease that wants to put me back in the food. But I love the big book. And when I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, yes, yes. That is me. That is me. I relate to everything, so many things in the big book. And I'm so grateful to this meeting. I love when I hear everybody sharing. It just gives me that strength to continue going forward. And I feel so thankful for everybody on here and for this program, so that one day at a time, I can have program in my life so that I could stop the stop, actually stop eating compulsively one day at a time. And I'm so grateful. And thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Goldie F. from Ohio. And just a reminder, we are on page 95, the third paragraph, starting with, if he is sincerely interested and wants, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. So Dana P., would you please share with us now, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take three more names. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Well, thank you so much. What a beautiful meeting. This is Dana P. I am recovered in California by the grace of God in this program. And it's really all about God. And so what are we talking about here in this paragraph? I immediately go to that, you know, the desire has to come from within, because that truly is the answer to my life. It's the solution. And I believe, I honestly believe that every single human being is put on this planet with that desire to reconnect to the source, to the higher power, God, our understanding, whatever that may be. And it is all obscured by life, you know, this world. And I know for myself, since so many years, you know, my 50-some-odd years of my life, looking for that outside of myself and all of my character defects, character liabilities, were all wrapped up in that, seeking value from others and the selfishness, the dishonesty. But ultimately, it really comes down to fear and that idea of that concept of God deep down inside. And I love how it says, have them read this book. You know, it's not up to me whether or not a person's going to recover. And I tell a potential sponsee at the outright, you will recover or not despite me. It's not up to me. I'm simply here to guide and direct you, utilizing this book, this amazing, divinely inspired book. I'm here to just shine the lamp. And you will find what you need to find as a result of doing so. And two things come up, and the book is just loaded with this amazing stuff. Deep down, it says deep down within inside of us, within each man, woman, and child, there is a conception. And then the other one that I always go back to is intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And what is that? What is that? It's that stirring within, that desire within that I was so petrified of, that I stuffed down and stuffed down and stuffed down with food for so many years. And when the food went down and I got neutral, I started to pay attention to that. And fear was still there somewhat. But I began to realize when I followed that direction, as they say, God, good orderly direction, my life got better, immensely better, and continues to day by day. So I'm just really grateful to be able to participate in life now with my beloved guiding my hand. And I'll pass with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dana P. from California. And now I'm going to open up the lines for three more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Kim O.
Kim M.
Linda C.
Linda C. And I'll take one more name. Okay, let's go with Kim M. and Linda C. Good morning, Kim, and please share where you're calling from.
Hi, thanks. And it's Kim O., and I'm calling from Alabama.
Great.
I just hearing the words, I have had this number saved in my phone for a long time. And often listen to the recordings, but not really listen. I reached out to someone today to just say, I think I'm at my bottom. I'm scared with what's happening physically. And to hear the words, as if they were for me, that says if I'm sincerely interested, that the desire must come from within, that I must decide for myself. And I'm exhausted. I don't know if I can do this. And I know that when I come to a place like this where it's up to me, no more excuses, just tell me what to do, I hope that today is really day one and that I don't wake up again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and start and say day one and just beat myself up with shame and guilt. So I needed to hear the words today. I don't have a sponsor in this program. I don't put forth the effort to stay on the line and receive numbers and things like that. Hearing people today and hearing these words, I hear them. I don't always really hear them. And so I'm grateful for that, just for this moment. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kim O, for that, from Alabama, for that beautiful share. And please stick around. We'd love to have you leave your name or take some names of sponsors. And just, well, I'm sure I share the sentiment of everyone listening that we will certainly keep you in our thoughts and prayers. And we've all been there, right where you're at. So welcome. Now, Linda C., please share with us.
Hi, this is Linda C. from Northern California. Thank you, everyone, for your service. What I kept hearing when I was reading this was, I heard this a long time ago, we have a bad case of a self-inflated ego with a case of low self-esteem. And when I talk to people, I see that flare up in my head, and it makes me go to just to God, to have God use his words and not mine. Because when I remember when I first came in, I had a sponsor that was so excited. I thought she was just pushy and arrogant. But I think she was just so excited that she wanted to help me get it. But what it did was it just pushed me down into my low self-esteem. Like, oh, I can never get this. I can never do that. And I wasn't able to hear anything. And today, when I call a newcomer, I try to remember, for the grace of God, there go I. And what did I need to hear when I first came in? And it was just showing up and telling my experience. And when I do that without my ego getting in the way, it gives me this peace and calm that comes out. And it's nothing I'm doing. And I hear people say that they feel comfortable, and it just blows me away, and it makes me stay humbled and press in more to my higher power, and so desperate to stay there and stay out of my ego, because that's what helped me reach out and surrender when I first came in. And I just loved hearing everybody's shares today. So thank you so much for your share and for your help.
Thank you, Linda C. from California. And I have, I can take another name, although we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share with us? I'll take one name.
Jordan L.
Hey. Jordan L. Go ahead, Jordan.
My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater,
and actually in Kanab, Utah this morning. but grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with all of you. So get this, right? this program and the God of my understanding and really selfless leadership, sponsorship, has turned my character defect of stubbornness and hard-headedness into an asset. And that is, like I said, that's a direct result of being here and doing this work. It has nothing to do with me or any accolades that I deserve or any reward that I've earned, right? It's very much like a gift that gets given to me. and that stubbornness and hard-headedness, because of that, I am very, very, very clear about my purpose as a sponsor, as someone who's guiding someone else through this work, that it's about them and God, you know? if I'm lucky, I'll get to witness that. My job as a sponsor is to let that person in enough, or let that person in on my relationship with God, so that they can witness that and they can see that, and then start cultivating that in their own life, right? And by this time, hopefully, by this time, my job as a sponsor is actually to earn this person's trust, so that when they get to a point where they've like cultivated this relationship with God in their life, the God of their understanding, they come back and they share it with me. They tell me about it, and I get to witness. You know, I get to hear about God working in other people's lives. And it's funny because when I came in, that's not what I was looking for, right? I just wanted to lose some weight. I just wanted to stop compulsively overeating. I thought I had a food problem. I thought my problem was food. So I got a lot more than I bargained for sure. but God, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. And I think there was someone else who was trying to share as well. So please come back on Monday. We would love to hear your share. So sorry we missed you today. But thank you to everyone who shared. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank you, Jordan. Star 1, Jordan L.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm having trouble. I'm on my phone, so I'm having trouble getting to it. Give me just one more moment, and here we go. Our book is meant to be suggestive. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.